We're here today with David Epstein, a ProPublica reporter who's been looking into the subject of doping and track and field stars. Welcome, David.
Thanks for having me.
So, David, your story focuses on Tyson Gay. Why don't you remind us a little bit as to who he is and why he's in trouble?
So he has for some years now been the best American sprinter, the lone sort of American who could potentially rival Jamaica's Usain Bolt. And he had the fastest time in the world last year. Looked like he might win the world championship over Bolt when he had to announce that he had failed a drug test and has not been able to compete since then.
Now, that announcement was quite mysterious. He didn't do what some of these guys do and say, well, I don't know how this happened, or, you know, somebody did something. What did he say that kind of got your interest in the story?
That's right. He was sort of sobbing when he was talking to reporters, saying, look, I don't have any story about how I was cheating or anything like that. I don't have anybody else to blame. I put my trust in someone and I was deceived. But since then, there's really been no indication of who the someone is or how he was deceived.
So what did you learn?
Well, I learned that the someone is an Atlanta chiropractor and anti-aging specialist named Clayton Gibson III, who has a large roster of professional athletes from a range of sports that he works with. And he provided Gay with a particular cream that contained a hormone that is banned for Olympic athletes.
Now, we seem to hear these stories over and over again. I should mention to our listeners that you and Selena Roberts were involved with writing the groundbreaking book on A-Rod and his steroid use. Why in the world, after all of these weeping press conferences and people being banned and so on and so forth, why would anybody be messing around with this?
That's a good question. Well, first of all, I think there's a perception that drug testing deters athletes, and that's not the case. Really, if you're smart, you're still going to get around drug testing most of the time. So the risk-reward is still very much tilted toward reward. And these guys are hunting for any little incremental edge. And the credentials of healthcare providers are very much secondary to what the next guy in their sport is telling them to do.
Well, let's talk about those credentials, because the healthcare professional at the center of this story is not exactly the sort of person I would typically imagine a world-class athlete putting his body in the hands of a person like this. So what was his background? How does he come to all this?
Well, so he's a chiropractor who for some years had been working with NFL players. It seems like his office is really close to the Georgia Tech campus, and he clearly was working with some Georgia Tech players who then went on to the NFL. And so I think he sort of had this entree into the world of professional sports. And going to him for chiropractic care is one thing, but he obviously got interested in the world of sort of supplements and creams and potions and started advising athletes to use a lot of these types of things. And that's where elite athletes tend to get into trouble, when someone is advising them to use certain supplements, basically, and that person didn't make those supplements themselves.
Well, that raises sort of the next question here, which is, if the supplements weren't made by the chiropractor, who made them?
Well, in this case, they were made by a company owned by a Swiss chiropractor named Eric Breitenmoser. And interestingly, this cream that Tyson Gay apparently took lists several banned substances, including testosterone, on the label. And Breitenmoser really wasn't able to explain to me what's actually in his cream or how it's made.
Right. You interviewed Breitenmoser, and in fact, you've ordered some of these creams. It's pretty clear in the label, isn't it?
It's very clear. The label is called testosterone DHEA cream. Both of those are banned substances in Olympic sports, and one of them is banned in all sports.
So you interview Breitenmoser and you point out, I think, among other things, that testosterone is, of course, not something you can distribute in the United States without prescription. It's a FDA-regulated drug. So what was his response to that?
I asked him sort of, why are you listing testosterone on the ingredients label, you know, when this is a prescription drug? And he said, oh, testosterone's not actually in there. We're just putting that there to refer to homeopathic ingredients.
Now, what does that mean?
Well, when I sort of followed up, he couldn't really explain it. He seemed to say that there's some concoction in there that will cause the body to boost its own testosterone production. But his labeling of testosterone, which makes it sort of unclear what form or amount is there, that type of labeling has specifically been called out as illegal by the FDA just in 2012.
Now, just to be clear, there are substances that boost the body's production of testosterone. DHEA, which he has on this label, is one of them, right?
That's correct. DHEA is a testosterone precursor. So that is, when you put it in the body converts it into small amounts of testosterone. That is listed in this product. Breitenmoser said it is in the product, and it is banned in Olympic sports. And so it may well be what Tyson tested positive for.
Now, curiously, though, not banned everywhere.
It has a sort of special exemption from the 90s that allows it to be sold over the counter, even though it is a steroid precursor. And it has remained legal in the National Football League and in Major League Baseball, but not for Olympic athletes.
That may explain how we got to this point, which is that if Gibson, the chiropractor, was giving this to NFL players, which I gather there's some evidence he was, then maybe they were passing the drug test.
That's correct. So NFL players and Major League Baseball players wouldn't be sanctioned for using DHEA. And in fact, it represents a potential loophole in anti-doping in Major League Baseball and the NFL, because an athlete who takes DHEA is then converted into some testosterone in the body. They could also be taking synthetic testosterone separately, and the drug test won't differentiate those two. So they could really cover up other kinds of doping by using DHEA.
Now, there is a ratio, right, though, that you have to stay within if you want to be legal, right?
That's right. So the most common anti-doping test is what's called the TE ratio test. So it tests for a ratio of testosterone in the body to another hormone called epitestosterone. Most people have a ratio of 1:1, and a test is not flagged as abnormal until it goes above 4:1. So actually, people don't usually understand that athletes can dope quite a bit without triggering a positive test, because you have 300% of wiggle room there to dope before you...
And DHEA would, in fact, change that ratio, right?
That's correct. DHEA would.
And then once you've done that, what happens to you as an athlete? Let's say you've pushed yourself from 1:1 to 2:1 to 3:1. Does it really make any difference?
That's a good question, and that's really hard to say. From my expertise in sort of doping in sports, as well as the endocrinologists I've talked to, most people would not recommend DHEA as a performance enhancer, because it converts to small amounts of testosterone, so you'd have to use a lot. And it also converts to estrogen, so that can cause things like breast growth in men. So really, someone, a healthcare practitioner who really understood hormones well, would not be telling athletes to use this.
Of course, we're talking about a chiropractor here, so perhaps he didn't have the full knowledge. You trace in the story how a guy like this kind of makes his way into the world. So do you have a sense of how, for example, Tyson Gay might have connected with Mr. Gibson?
I do. Tyson Gay's path to Gibson actually goes back to some former Baltimore Ravens players. So several players, including Ed Reed, maybe the best safety of all time, were using Gibson. And another, at the time, Baltimore Ravens running back Willis McGahee was seeing Gibson. And McGahee started dating a U.S. sprinter named Marchevette Hooker, and Hooker was being coached by the same person as Gay at the time. So the word sort of spread from Hooker to Gay's coach, John Drummond, to Gay. So Drummond told Gay about Gibson.
Now, what does Drummond say about all this?
Drummond admits that that's how that he heard about Gibson from Hooker. He admits that he told Tyson about Gibson. He said he's done this with many doctors over the years. He denies that he told Tyson to see Gibson, although Gibson says Drummond did refer him. And he vehemently denies knowing anything about creams containing banned substances.
Sounds a little murky. So let's go back for a moment to the central figure in this story, Tyson Gay. So where does his career stand at this point?
He went from being in the best shape of his career, looking like he could actually beat Usain Bolt, to now facing an unknown suspension. So a standard ban for a positive test for a steroid or steroid precursor is 2 years, and he's 31 years old, which is already like an elder statesman among sprinters. So I think his ban could be reduced for cooperation, but I think it's reasonable to suggest that this has really, really ruined his career.
Any of these guys who were caught ever come back without the drugs to be successful? Is there any example? I remember Ben Johnson, for example, tried to come back. Did he succeed?
He did, and then he tested positive again. But there are cases. So Justin Gatlin, another American sprinter, had to serve a 4-year ban, was much younger than Gay when it happened, though, and has not tested positive again. We have no idea to say 100% whether he comes back clean, but seems no smoke around him at the moment. But I have not seen a sprinter of Gay's age receive a suspension and come back in the kind of form that he had in the past.
Is this ever going to stop? I mean, we seem to almost every month turn over a sports page, and it's a Lance Armstrong, it's an A-Rod, it's guys you've never heard of, it's minor leaguers, it's major leaguers. I mean, does this ever end?
I don't think so, and I don't think it's only athletes either. So athletes have sort of moved from some of the older forms of doping, because even though they can still pass tests, they're getting hemmed in a little bit by anti-doping testing, but they're moving to sort of guys who classify themselves with or without any sort of certification as anti-aging specialists, which usually means the pitch is your hormones like testosterone and DHEA decline as you age. All we're doing is replacing them. And this is expanding hugely, not just among athletes, but among Americans. I mean, there was men between the ages of 40 and 50, between 2001 and 2011, the number of them who were getting testosterone prescriptions quadrupled. for testosterone replacement. So this is, athletes are a small part of this, but hormone replacement medicine is expanding like crazy in all sectors.
And not to digress too much, but I'm sure our listeners may be wondering, is this safe?
That's a good question. So it's funny you should mention that. A very recent issue of the publication, Endocrine News, the publication for doctors who specialize in hormones, the cover story is hormone replacement is absolutely exploding. Here's all this stuff we don't really know about it. So the fact is, we really don't know what happens in the long term. It's unknown. Obviously, if DHEA causes breast growth in men, which it can, that's not good in the short term. The long term, the test subjects are the people using it right now.
So we're kind of running a massive experiment right now in Americans.
Absolutely.
You know, you look back on the history of the woman's hormone replacement issue, where it was studied over and over and over again and came to, I think, conclusive but very complicated results. It sounds like maybe we're headed for that here and we're not going to know for years.
I think that's absolutely the case. So there's a heated debate. We know that testosterone supplementation, when carefully controlled for health reasons, not for athletic performance, you can minimize the risks. There's always risks with any drugs, but there simply are not the kind of long-term studies that you would hope to see. And nobody uses these things the way that elite athletes do. So we have no idea how the mixtures and concoctions and dosages they're using will affect them in the long term.
Well, David, thank you very much for looking into this subject. It's certainly an area of expertise for you, and I suspect it's one we're going to continue to see in the coming years.
Thank you.